Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It is 6:02 here in the Bayou City. Final hour already on a Sunday morning. All right, let's head down south. Let's go check in with old Captain Rihanna this morning, see how she's doing. Rihanna, how are you this morning?
Good morning, Mickey. How are you doing?
What's up? You tired?
Yes.
You've been fishing hard all week, haven't you?
I have. Every day this week. Cold, wet, rainy, sunshine. It doesn't matter. I was out there.
There you go. Rain or shine, we're going.
Rain or shine, I was out there.
Boy, that was a beautiful trout. You sent me a picture of the other morning. I'm going, man, I just replied, pretty. That was a good one.
Man, yeah,
fat, healthy, broad shoulders, had the length. It had everything you want in a beautiful trout. That fish
yes,
is what,
did.
Close to 8 pounds?
Yeah, that one was just under 8, and she was over 29 inches, just over the 29 mark.
Gorgeous yeah. fish.
Yep. You can tell she'd been living up in the flats, cruising up in that grass, you know, those specks that she had.
Yeah, the spots on
beautiful
her.
Beautiful color.
And the colors and the purple and all that incandescent look. Beautiful fish,
mm-hmm.
man.
Yes. Yeah, she was gorgeous, and she thumped my lure like it was her last meal. It's funny, you know, and this
what
is one thing that I was throwing a little John XL in the new color, the Space Dust. They came out with that color earlier this year in the Little John. They came out with it in the small Little John. And so I think a lot of folks started requesting that lure in an XL. And so Mirror Lure just released the XL version of Space Dust, which is a really dark, deep purple. And it's got kind of like red and blue flake in it. Really pretty. So that day, front had just blown in. That was Sunday when I got off the phone with you. It was supposed to blow in, and it blew in a lot earlier than we had anticipated. And I told my friend who was with me, I said, man, sometimes they will munch. They will start munching when these fronts blow in. And that's exactly what happened. It was calm, beautiful right before it blew in, of course. And you could see those shelf clouds. They were coming, a little bit of drizzle with that front. And as soon as it hit, I mean, it was gusting every bit of 30 sustained, gusting well over 30.
I thought about you when I got off the radio. I'm going, man, it is cranking. That thing is hit.
Yeah, it was cranking. Of course, I caught her like around 10:30. So it was mid morning, and that's what we've been seeing. It's either mid morning or later in the afternoon when these big trout.
Well, since moon phase we're on, plus the moon set, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The moon's
setting around. Well, earlier in the week it was setting before daylight, and now it's set. Yeah. What's the moon set this morning? 9:57. So
it should be late. Yeah, it should be later in the morning.
You were getting that moon good and underneath you during that midday bite that.
Yeah, and not only that, but our tidal movement. Of course, this was down in Mansfield. I'm here in Rivera because, long story short, we fished a tournament this last weekend, yesterday, the Artificial Showdown. And
how'd that go for
that's
you?
That's what we placed fifth. We were in second at one point. We were in second, and we thought we had locked in on fourth, and we got bumped down to fifth. So we got up on that stage and won Forever Last Nets and Pliers, which was, it was really fun to be part of. And we fished hard, and one of my
friends. You didn't even get any money for fifth place?
No, and the top five had to be in Aransas Pass by 5 o'clock. And so we were, when we got off the water, we were in third. And so we stopped fishing, of course, down in Mansfield. It's 2.5 hours away, a two and a half hour drive.
That's a pretty good run.
Right. So we got off the water. We called it good at 1:30. And the wind had died. And it's funny, yesterday the wind died, picked up. So you could have your lines in at 6:15. You could park out at your spot all night the night before if you wanted to.
Yeah.
But you can only start fishing at 6:15,
which
is still dark.
Yeah.
Right. It was dark at that time. So we tootled out to our area and waited about an hour beforehand. And during that time, man, wind was blowing, and it wasn't forecast to blow that hard in the morning. It was forecasting for maybe 8 to 10 miles, out of the north.
And that's surprising because it was calm here yesterday morning.
Yeah, it was a little wind activity going on early in the morning before the sun came up, and so of course, as the sun continued to rise, it died down, and it died down really nicely for us. And then it would pick back up in the morning and die back down, which is good. I noticed a little activity fluctuation during that time. When the wind would pick up, bite would turn on really good. When it died down, the bite would slow down too, and then you have to really drop your lure down in those potholes and really get down there in the lower column. When the wind would pick up, they were starting to bite kind of middle to upper column. And but anyways, we called it good at 1:30 and hauled buns up north. And so, top five had to be in in Rance Pass by 5 o'clock. So we made it, and they did all the lie detector tests and all that fun stuff. And so we took home fifth place, which was, I think there were 46 to 48 teams somewhere in there. It was close to 50 from what I heard, because I know there were boat number 47. So quite a few teams in this tournament, more than they typically get, which this is my first, this was our first time fishing it. One of my good friends, Barbara, she asked me if I wanted to fish it with her quite a few months back. And I was like, sure, you know, I'd like to fish it. And
well,
so
maybe that's Barbara, I guess her husband's hunting at Blaine's Ranch quail hunting right now.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
That's her.
Cool.
Yeah. She told me that. She said, yeah, Blaine is on that show you're on. I was like, okay. Yeah. I said, she said her, she said her husband's over there in Hebronville hunting with Blaine, quail hunting. I said, cool deal. She said, yeah, Steve, her husband, told Blaine that they were in, we were in fourth, and she said that Steve said that Blaine jumped out of his seat and said, no way.
And so, who puts who put this tournament on?
I believe it's Kim and Billy McNeil.
Okay.
They said that this was their seventh year doing this tournament. So,
okay.
It's been around for a little while, but they said this year was a pretty good turnout. It supposedly it was. There was anglers spread around all up and down the coast. Supposedly there's people fishing Matagorda, all the way from Matagorda, all the way down south to, you know, South Padre Island. I know a lot of folks were fishing either way south or way north in Mansfield. That's a long ways. I mean,
yeah, that's covering some territory right there. That's a lot of coastline.
It is. Yeah, it is. So I know quite a few folks, we saw some abandoned ships out there, some boats broken down. We waited up right on one. It was a big old tower boat, and I was like, man, that boat's been there for a long time. I don't see anybody around it. And sure enough, we waded up pretty close to it to where we could see. And, yeah, it was an abandoned ship. Somebody broke down, and I guess somebody came and picked them up. Just left it there. Yeah. You know, tournament shenanigans, and you see that a lot during tournament day, and it is what it is. But this week was – man, Mickey, this week was tough. It was rewarding, though, very rewarding, because we worked hard for a bite. And I mean,
you're getting big bites. That'll make you work hard if you got a shot at good fish like that. What was y'all's big fish yesterday?
790.
Man, that's crowding 8 pounds. That's
just under eight. Yep, she held
one over 9 pounds.
9.2.
That's a good one. Man, what a fish.
Yeah. That's a big one. Yeah. So some big numbers being posted, which is really fantastic to see. I think our conservation and our efforts and Texas Parks and Wildlife efforts and conservation on these big trout is paying off. We're seeing it. I mean, we released multiple fours and fives yesterday because we had already a certain poundage that we were struggling to find some sixes. So we needed a couple of sixes. And
so it was a stringer deal, not just a big trout. It was what, like a three
four
fish stringer or something? Four fish?
Four heaviest trout.
Okay.
Yep. So we weighed in over 24 pounds for trout.
That's over 6 pound average. That's strong, man. That's pretty sweet. That's pretty good.
Well, the winning team pulled in 30.
That's strong.
30 pounds. Yep.
Are they the ones that had the 9 pounder?
Yes, sir.
Well, I figured that.
Yes, sir.
That's a good kicker right there, man. I was a little slow, folks. I only had a 9 pound kicker to go with my fish. Okay. Only a 9 pounder.
Only nine, you know.
Only
just nine. A little nine.
No big deal. Make a couple of moves. We'll cut another drift over here, no problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, buddy. Hey, let me knock his drift out. Let me knock his brake out. I'll be right back at you. Hang on a second.
All right, Mickey.
All right. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Good morning and welcome back to The Outdoor Show. It's 6:19 here in the Bayou City. You know, earlier when I was talking to Lynn Smith, we were talking about those one-pound propane bottles, you know, and how you can refill them. Well, this is so weird. It's like our phones are listening to everything we say. It popped up on my Facebook, and it's a site called Everything Preppers. And response to the illegal practice of refilling one-pound propane cylinders. And I read this whole thing, how dangerous it is. And one part in here I liked here said, so why would any sane adult with the expected education of grade 12 plus 3 years or any in 2025 go around all that? So apparently it's unlawful to do that, even though they sell the fitting for you to do it with off a 40-pound cylinder to that 1 pound or what have you. So it's illegal to do that. Plus, it's a extreme risk. If one of those blew up, you wouldn't be here any longer to talk about it, according to this write-up. So thought I'd throw that out there. So no matter what you say, your phone's always listening to you. That is so strange that popped up after talking about that 30 or 40 minutes ago. All right, Rihanna, we're back. I had to throw that out there.
Yeah, it is interesting how our phones...
Nothing's private anymore. Nothing.
It's not. No, it's not, because I can't tell you
how many times that... Scary world we live in.
It is, you know, and I don't think people realize how much we are being recorded, you know, and cameras everywhere, our phone listens to us. I used to put a little blackout tape on my phone, on my camera, and I stopped doing it. I was like, you know what? Let them watch.
Let them watch.
Now,
bring it on.
Let them watch. Let them listen. Yeah, that's happened to me several times when I'm talking about something with somebody. And then all of a sudden on social media, whatever platform, an ad will come up for it. And I'm like,
Well, I've seen that, but I've never seen a full-blown statement, you know, like a site like Everything Preppers come out and write a whole big story on it, how dangerous it is. So that's
interesting.
So everything I said about that, folks, that's don't do it. Just if you're out of 1 pound cylinders and can't find any, you're just out.
Yep, that's all she
wrote.
Put
on more clothes. Boy, this was a week you couldn't hardly get enough clothes on. It was just that dreary, you know, heavy overcast and drizzly and in the 40s and an east wind blowing and cutting you in half. And makes for a miserable day,
brutal.
Especially if you get a little wet. You're done.
Yep, it was brutal. One of my tournament partners, she fell down in a prop scar. On one of our wades, and she's pretty athletic. And I know it can happen. I've climbed out of those prop scars before, especially down in Mansfield. You get those long prop shaft boats up in there, and they just rev up and turn and dig that hole down.
Yeah, turn the wheel all the way in one direction and hit it and spin her up and go. And then you can, I guarantee it's at least a foot and a half, 2 foot trough they'll leave at times.
Yep. I stepped in. I
wonder why their lower units and water pumps mess up.
Yep. Lightly used tournament boat for sale.
Yeah, lightly used. No, thank you.
Nope. Yeah, so I've crawled out of them before, but one day this week, my friend Barbara, she fell in one, and she fell back, and some of that water started gushing and through her the backside of her jacket. Luckily, she had a jacket on, or else if she didn't, it would have been
she'd have filled
worse.
Up.
But it was shallow. She was way, way up skinny, and I was kind of out a little bit deeper. But it was enough to cause a lot of discomfort for the rest of that day. I was like, man, I said, we're just right here. You want me to take you in back to the harbor and change? We can do it.
Yeah.
Because that's brutal. And it was blowing that day. And there were some mornings where I wore 4 shirts on top, 3 bottom layers, that not including my vest, waders, and then my jacket. So we were bundled up, and I get real cold easily. So I like to be comfortable. And
I do too. Now that I've gotten older, man, my hands are what gets me. You know, I've got the good layer gear and everything, but man, my exposed hands, especially in the wind when they're wet and you're grabbing fish. Oh man.
Ooh, yeah, I know it. It's tough. And Barbara was, she was dealing with her carpal tunnel this week, and so we were trying to take it easy. And of course, after every night, she would hold up a frozen bottle of water to kind of reduce the swelling. I mean, and it was her twitching hand, her left hand,
right,
and
her rod hand,
so I was like, man, that's, you know, that sucks. That's bad. That's a bad deal. I said, you know, as much as we fish, as much as we twitch our rod, something like that's prone to happening. And what happens is that swelling, that inflammation, it causes that little pinched nerve right in there. And she said it was bothering her more later at night when she was fishing. It was fine, but afterwards and at night, it would pound. And so I was like, man, that's just not, that ain't good. That ain't good at all. So I was worried. I was worried about her. So, man, as long as you're okay for tournament day, need that wrist to work on that day. But, you know, one thing this week that, and this is funny how this happens, you know, we pick and choose multiple different colored lures, I threw corkies, I threw soft eyes, I threw the corky devils, I threw top waters, I threw everything that I thought would promote or
would get a big trout bite,
produce a good bite. Yeah. Yeah, and all the fish, the big fish I caught on, guess what I caught them on?
Probably a soft plastic. Little John XL. That is so shocking.
Little John XL. And golden brim.
That's such a good bait, man.
Mm-hmm. That is just a, it ain't much. It's just a little dart. I caught that one on last Sunday on Space Dust XL. And then,
boy, that's a good looking purple, isn't it?
Just beautiful.
That Space Dust with the glitter in it, that is a yep. Bad to the bone looking. I mean, anything with purple in it always catches my eye, and I'm a sucker for purple. Always
likewise.
Have been.
Me too. Yep, me too. And then the water that we linger towards that attracts us as, you know, big trout anglers, it's that deep green, chalky, a little bit off-colored. And those darker colors do well in that type of clarity of water.
Right.
Dark purples, you know, dark greens, a watermelon red.
Well, it's silhouette so
golden
good.
Brim. Right. And so that day I had believe I was throwing a black jig head paired with the Space Dust. And, of course, it was overcast. Water was a little bit chalked up, overcast, no sun. And so that dark silhouette, she saw it. We were in a deep pocket, and you could, when you're walking through there, you'll sink down, you know, walk through a pocket, sink down about a half a foot, you know, and then come back up and then go back down. You walk through all those little deep pockets. They're just nestled all up in there, you know, about waist deep, which is about a foot and three quarters, you know, it's not very deep. But they seem like that's just the structure that they really prefer. And I noticed that's year round. That's not just in the wintertime. I mean, areas like that produce for me spring, summer, fall, winter. It's what I call a year round spot, you know, year round structure. It seems like they're able to really nestle in those little pockets and just ambush their bait, their food, you know. And right now there's a lot of piggies. There's a lot of piggies in our bay system right now. We've got, I've seen small little shad just barely, you know, like glistening through the water. So, and most of these trout that we've caught have had really full bellies. I mean, like firm to the touch. And that's the kind of trout that you see down south. Here in Baffin, you see a lot more cellulite, a little bit more looseness in the belly.
Oh,
area.
Yeah. Yeah, the texture of the fish. Yeah. The
Right. Yes. And down in Mansfield, you notice a little bit more muscular. They got a little more muscle on them. And I think that the tidal movement there, it's so close.
Well, that, and you know, you got the main pass coming in out of the Gulf, too, into there. And you know those fish are probably in and out of there. They do a lot of swimming.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's why those fish have a lot, they're a lot more toned. They've got a lot more muscle mass on them. They've got to move quick. They have to move quick. I mean, they're battling sharks and dolphins, porpoises, you know, and whatever else is in there that's feeding on those fish. And so they've got to move around a lot more than these fish here in Baffin. You know, they just nestle and don't move around a whole lot and eat and sleep and eat and sleep and do the same thing over and over. And most trout down in Mansfield, they've got a lot more to worry about. They've got to move around a little bit more and battle the tides and everything else. But I threw everything at them, every color, every profile, rat tails, paddle tails, you know, soft plastics. As far as color, I threw everything that was like just crystal clear lure, super dark lure, through devils, corkies, different color corkies,
Hey, man, when you get them on a Corky Devil, that Corky Devil bite's hard to beat, man. That, you talk about thump on, buddy. When they're hammering them, you can slow it down and just lay it right in front of them.
Right in front of them. I've seen them.
They'll suck that in so hard. It's unbelievable. I got a couple of photos from a listener from Mansfield yesterday. Two beautiful fish, him and his buddy. They each caught one. He sent me the photos. And they caught those on Lilies.
On Lilies?
Yeah, a Lily bite. Man, a Lily bite's hard to beat when you can get them going on them. Talk about a good thump, good bite.
Do those? Are those spinning baits, or are they?
No, they're a floating twitch bait. You throw it out, it floats, but you can jig it down.
Like a double
D. I mean, if you work it real hard, you can take it down about 2 feet, and then stop it, and then it crawls real slow back to the surface. And or you can just straight retrieve it. I mean, it's so fun throwing them, and there's no weight to them. They're not heavy at all, and you can throw them a mile. They cast really good, and they don't work you to death, you know, working your rod tip or anything.
Yeah, that's one thing, throwing those corkies. Man, it's a workout, especially if you're in an area with a little bit of grass or floating grass. You have to really keep that lure in the middle column.
And it's, you know, that's a bad thing, you know, treble hooks and all that, but conditions are right, no floating grass or any of that, man. It's
worth it.
I caught some pretty good fish and baffin with it, you know, fishing with Cliff. Let me knock this break out, and I'll come back at you. We'll continue on. We'll talk about some more baits. Hang on, I'll be right back at you, girl. All right, we're going to take another break. You're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
DSW, Earthplace of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands, or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right, it's 6:38 here in the Bayou City. Final segment already. Time has flown by today. All right, Rihanna, we're back in a flash.
All righty. Yeah, I was just looking at that video that I took of Libby when she was weighing that trout, and I was trying to think of what lure she caught it on. She was throwing a mirror lure provoker.
Provoker? Yeah, a rat tail.
Yep, provoker. Yep. And
You know, that bait has a sin in it. A lot of people don't realize that has sin in it, just like the Little John does.
Yep. Yes, it does. And those provokers, sometimes when the bite gets a little finicky, that bait works through the water really, really sporadically. If you ever, sometimes I'll just put a lure right there in front of me and just to see how it looks, you know, when I'm working it. And that lure there, it is very erratic. And so, you know, Libby, she's just, you know, working it, just barely letting it fall and twitching her rod tip. And nothing really, really fast, just a real subtle, she's really letting it fall in that lower column. And when it hit, we were in some redfish too. So sometimes those trout can nosedive and we really don't know what it is until they surface. And so I was right next to her and it started pulling drag and she saw the specks come up and she was like, Rhiannon, it's a big one, come here, come here. And so I started running over there to help her with it. And when I saw it surface, I said, oh, my God, Libby, this is a big one. And she kind of lifted her rod tip. I said, no, lower your rod tip, lower your rod tip. I said, keep her low, just fight her. I said, just fight her. And I said, she's hooked right. She was hooked right in the hinge, too. I saw where she was hooked. I said, she's hooked right in the hinge. She's hooked good. I said, but still, keep her rod tip. She goes that way, just pull her, fight her, and so one of my other tournament partners started coming up just to help get it in the net, and I was like, "Well, we got two nets, so we'll swim it into either one." And so I scooped that trout up so fast, I'm like, "Get in there!" And when I pulled it up, I said, "Oh my gosh, Libby, this one's pushing 8," and sure enough, she was 7'9", and man, it was just a beautiful fish. We were in a little bit of kind of that mossy stuff that when you walk through it, it smells like sulfur. It's really nasty.
Yeah,
kind of like an algae. And right around that structure, you could see, I mean, it was overcast, but that grass is grass pockets, or that it's a not a grass pocket, it's a grass mat. And you can see them. We were just fishing the outer edges of that, and that's pretty much where she caught that trout, on the outer edge of one of those grass mats. And that stuff is so nasty when you walk through it, that deep sulfur smell. Then she
dumped it. Rotten eggs, man.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. There's a lot of that right now up on our flats, and it's
that's
thick
the smell
enough to wear.
Every time I've ever been to Mansfield, by the time I'd been there 2 or 3 days, I got used to that smell. But man, you know, all that grass washed up on the shoreline, you got that rotten egg smell everywhere. But
you
get used to it.
You do. It's worth it. It seems like a lot of the bait really lingers on the outer edges of those. I see a lot of small little shad looking bait right on that. And the outer perimeter of those grass mats. And I know every last couple winters that I've been really focusing on fishing down here, fishing around those grass mats produces really well. When you start getting into bigger redfish around those, it seemed like that had been the pattern this week. We were in some small trout. I mean, it was dink after dink after dink. And I said, let's get off of this line and let's move up to a different line, because this line is nothing but small ones. And we would move up to a different line, either shallower or deeper, either or, and get on a line where it would change up to maybe nothing but redfish, and then boom, trout in there. And seemed like those trout were mixed in with those upper slot redfish. We were not catching big trout in all those dinks. Not to say that there might have been some in there. They probably would have been, but it seemed like the trend was those trout were with those bigger redfish. And I've seen that in Baffin. Where I'll throw topwater out, and then boom, big topwater bite, redfish.
Right.
Fight it for a long time. let it go. I wouldn't even move, just plant. And then I throw back in that same spot and top water blow it, and it's a big trout. That's happened several times. And so I'm thinking, here's another thing I saw that was pretty neat while I was pre-fishing. It was on a day where it was calm, it was warm. Actually, I think this was before Thanksgiving, I believe. It was warm. I know I wet waded and went up to some flats where it was really pretty, a lot of sand, scattered shoal grass, just wispy little shoal grass growing up in the sand. Beautiful structure. Sight casting the reds, and I was in there looking for a big trout. And so there was a lot of stingrays in there just cruising, and I noticed one big stingray was cruising kind of towards me, and right behind him, this stingray was probably maybe, I don't know, 12 to 14 inches wide. He was a big one. Right behind him were about six trout, and they were three on each side, swimming all in unison right behind him. And they were anywhere, because I sight casted to them because I wouldn't see how big they were. It's kind of hard to see in the water how long they were. And they were about 12 to 14 inches of trout. And they would follow right behind them. That stingray would nestle down, and those trout, their noses would go down. They would just watch him. And then he would pick back up. Those trout would follow right behind him. So I guess what they were doing was they were waiting on the scraps. Whatever that stingray was, working up on the bottom, those trout were ready to feed on whatever was really neat. I've never seen that. And so I was just curious to see how big those trout were. So I sight casted to them. Of course, one of them went for it, and it was about 12, 13 inches. but they were just lingering right behind them. And that water was so clear, I could see about 50 to 75 feet in front of me clearly. And so,
that's
walking,
clean.
It was very clean, gin clear. The sun was perfect to where I could see everything, but I wanted to sight cast to a big trout. And I had seen one. I was running up. I was burning that day. I was looking, And I can do that in my boat. I can get up shallow. It's just I can't quite get up in as shallow as I used to in that boat that I ran before. But I can run up skinny. And I came up on one. She was cruising up on just primarily sand. And I saw her. She was big, every bit of 28. I mean, just a beautiful, beautiful trout. You could see that lateral line on her. She was the only one that was up there. And I turned around trying to see if maybe there was some more with her, but she was just a one lonesome trout up there just cruising. Of course, that was later in the day. It was warm. So I don't know if she was just kind of seeking some warmer structure up there, but it's kind of random. I always wonder why do some trout do that? You know, it's just, it's hard to figure them out. I'll never have it figured out. I'm going to work the rest of my life trying to figure them out, why they do this and why they do that. But it was just one random trout way up skinny, just barely cruising.
Oh,
when of course when she saw me I saw that tail kick, and she moved away, and I circled back around just to see if there was anything else, and that there wasn't nothing else.
Back when our water used to get real clean like that up here before all these damn dredging projects and silt and all that, and usually when you could sight cast and see those big trout in shallow like that behind the front, and as the tide was starting to come back up on the flats and those big trout would roll up in there, they'd always be in a little group of three to five fish. Sometimes you'd see a group of 10 of them, but I mean, I'm talking about the really big ones, 28, 29 inch fish.
Mm-hmm.
And they would always be in that little group of three to five fish on average most of the time. And when you did see a loner like you're talking about, it was massive. I mean, it was like, 30 plus inches. It'd be all by itself cruising around.
Yep. and that one did look big. She was, I mean, I could.
And it's so, yeah, it's so hard to tell in the water. You know, sometimes you underestimate them, sometimes you overestimate them. Sometimes right. they look bigger under the water.
Yeah.
And then other times they look smaller than they really are. Then you catch one that you sight cast and you get it up and, oh, my God, it's 10 pounds. And you thought it was a 7 or an 8, you know. It's hard. Mm-hmm. It's so hard to tell.
Yeah.
But you know it's a big fish. I mean, 7 pounds and up, that's, I consider that a big trout.
Absolutely. Yeah, whenever I can see the lateral line, you know, those bigger fish, they have a really well-defined lateral line.
Good point.
And yes, and this one did. I could see the white underneath her and then that deep gray on top. And I was like, oh, my goodness. I was like, that's, I thought to myself. I turned around so fast. I was like, even if I just get to see her one more time, I want to see her. But most of the fish that we've, the bigger ones, I love how they have that contrast from the lateral line to their bellies. Just so beautiful. That, of course, that first, the trout that I caught on Sunday, when she came up, I mean, it was so dark. The water was dark. It was overcast. She came up, and I just saw that yellow mouth. At first, I thought it was a redfish. And then I set the hook, and, of course, redfish typically go straight down. They nosedive. And this one came up. She came up, when she did, I saw that yellow mustard mouth swinging through that water nest, and I told Libby, I said, oh my goodness, Libby, this is a big one. And she had a really pretty lateral line too. But like I said, all mirror lure this week has been mirror lure Little Johns, and then of course the provokers. And then yesterday during tournament day, that's all we threw yesterday were Little Johns. That's all we caught our fish on was Little Johns and watermelon red. And then later in the day, the sun started coming up. It was still overcast, but it's getting brighter. And we had switched over to golden brim, something a little bit more lighter, a little bit more translucent. And so early in the mornings, I was throwing a purple demon with a chartreuse head, and then switched over to watermelon red because that's what everybody else is catching them on. And I was like, okay, I'm going to switch over to watermelon red. And that's one of my confidence baits, too, watermelon red, golden brim. And it's funny because year-round, in that color, that structure, that's a high productive bait. It produces very well. Dropping them in those pockets in that lure, it just seems like it's the action, it's the profile, it's the color that they like. And of course, the rod that I'm using, you know, I throw Priest Sarge rod. It's very, very whippy.
I've got
and
one.
I'm able to. Yeah,
I fish with. I like it. It's it actually feels stiffer to me than some of the other rods, the blanks that I use too. You know, like a Waiter light and a hook spit, and then that HP light in the Waterloo, but it's a lot quicker. That tip is whippy, but with a immediate backbone, the way it tapers down, it's fast.
Oh, yeah,
real fast.
It is. Yeah, it's a perfect tail rod.
Yes, it is a good tail rod, and I like it for lilies too. When you're banging on them and jigging a lot, man, you can pull that bait down good with it.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's perfect. You're able to really work those lures with that rod tip effectively in a way that you can get their attention.
And it's balanced real well from the handle to the tip. You know, when it just pivots between your ring finger and your middle finger, you know, with the trigger.
It just feels
good in the hand. Especially with a brand new salty hundo on it.
That's what I've got too.
Have you thrown the Hundo 50 yet? Have you spooled it up?
No.
Or you got one yet?
I'm throwing the salty Hundo.
Yeah, well, I've got two of them, but I just got that new Hundo 50, which is actually a 150, and the regular Hundo is a 100 series. But man, It throws good, and it holds a little bit more line. It'll be good
like
for out
that.
Of the boat chasing, you know, big herds of redfish too.
Yep. You can really chunk your baits out there.
Yeah. Put that on a longer rod so you can make those long casts.
Absolutely.
Reds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I keep 20-pound Sussex 832 on mine, and I used to throw 15-pound, and I was like, man, I just want a little bit more backbone.
Yeah, that's kind of thin, you know, for braid.
It was. Yeah. And of course, that Sussex 832 is the best line that I've found for me. I mean, I've tried Wind Tamer. I've tried all these other brands, and Wind Tamer, I got a lot of wind knots in Wind Tamer, and a lot of my friends and clients have experienced the same thing with Wind Tamer. There's some other lines that feel real slick, and so when you go to tie a knot, it slips, and
right.
I don't like that either. Sussex 832 is.
I've never thrown the Sussex. I've heard about it. I got a lot of guys that throw it, but
that's all I use.
I throw that Smackdown. A lot.
Yeah, that's
when I'm using braid.
That's a good one too.
And it's strong and it's smaller diameter than most for its tensile strength and everything. But
makes for a really strong backing.
I had a guy ask me one time, so what's the best line to throw, really, in your opinion? I said, free line. If it's free, throw it, man. You can't beat it. Especially braid, as expensive as it is.
It is, and I buy a 1,200-yard spool of it, which is like 300-something bucks.
Oh, you know, yeah.
Get it out. It's
it
not
ain't
cheap.
Just think if you're spooling offshore reels with that big stuff, how high a dollar that is.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, Rihanna. Well, hey, good job yesterday. Glad y'all had a good time and caught some nice, that's a nice stringer of fish. If somebody wants to call you about coming down and cutting away, give them some info how they can reach out to you.
Sure thing. My number is 361-296-5400. Got some days available this month down in Mansfield. We've been catching some good ones, so
yeah, you
give
have.
Me a call.
All right, girl. Hey, have a good Sunday. Rest up. Get ready for next week.
Yes, sir. I can't wait
Rihanna.
To get back out in the water.
I know it. You're sicko. All right, we'll see you later.
I know it. All righty, Mickey. Later.
Later.
Bye-bye.
All right. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. But we'll be back next week, Thursday morning, bright and early, 4 a.m., right here at Sports Radio 610, KILT Houston.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.